I'm great. How are you?
I'm delightful. What are you up to?
Just picked up the kids from school and soccer practice and just back here at the house hanging out.
Good. How are the kids?
They're awesome. They're
Very
awesome.
usual.
Yeah. They're keeping me busy.
And how's everything with you?
Things have been going really well. It's been a great summer. It's been a good fall so far. How about you? Anything interesting going on?
No, just the usual craziness, getting ready for planning the next Inner Circle retreat, which is already it's already sold out, which is crazy.
Did it sell out?
Almost. It's like,
Almost.
yeah, honestly, I didn't think it was gonna fill up for months and months and months and months, but yeah, it's already almost gone, which is crazy.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. It was so much epic fun last year, and I love that we're going back to Austin. I mean, now we kind of know the city a little bit. We know where we want to go, where we want to eat, what we want.
Yeah, that's really it. We know where we want to eat this.
Donuts. I mean, all the donuts.
Yeah, it might be
I
cool
mean,
to like extend the stay as well, like add a couple extra days either on the front or back.
I think I'm gonna do that. I think I'm gonna do that for sure.
Yeah, I
We've
think.
already got a house. Yeah, we got an Airbnb, so it'll be fun.
Oh,
It'll be,
that's
yeah.
perfect. Well. Okay, so let's jump right into it. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot going on, but basically, I like for a little bit of background, just for everybody listening, Hattie and I did a podcast. How long? Do you know when that was?
It was either February or March.
Wow. Okay. So about like I don't know, 8 months ago or so,
Maybe. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
and I'll link that podcast in the description of this one, but that one was it was honestly one of my favorite ones to do because it was very you could literally hear the transformation happening as we were talking, realizing like the struggle that you were having with overexercising and I don't even want to put words in your mouth. How about this? How about you sort of summarize what happened on that call with you, like you discussed, like the transformative process you went through on that call, and then I really want to hear about how you've improved and what how you've built on that since then, because a lot of people they know what to do, they know what's wrong, they know what to do to fix it, but they don't take action, and you are literally the quintessence of what happens when someone takes action. When someone like this is, I know what I have to do. I know it's going to be hard, but I'm going to fucking do it. And I think there's a lot to learn from that. So you, how about you just tell me what's going on?
Okay, sure. During that call, we talked about I think it started off, the call kind of started talking about me and perfectionism and all this kind of stuff and how I'm all in my head about, exercise and eating well. And where we sort of got to was I'd had this habit for years. And I mean, I have been exercising regularly for over 10 years. And I had, it, you know, over time it evolves and changes, but I had developed this habit where I felt like I needed to work out every single day. And where we got in the call is that of course I enjoy working out, and of course I consider it my time and I like it, but really that was based in fear. I was working out every single day because I felt that if I didn't, I was going to gain weight, I was going to lose my progress, I was not going to be able to stay the size that I was, that I wasn't going to move my, strength forward, my cardiovascular endurance forward. I mean, I just had this whole list of things in my head that I was carrying around about why I had to do this every day. And we decided, you issued me a 30-day challenge to not do any extra workouts. I was supposed to do my regular 4-time-a-week Inner Circle monthly workouts, and that's it for 30 days. And I was supposed to
What did you
post Inner
think
Circle.
when I said that?
I was kind of freaked out. Yeah, because that's so not what I that's not how I operate. And it was tough because I was in this space where I was exercising 7 days a week and I was eating 14 to 1500 calories a day at the same time. And I was either all on board and I was doing that, or I was run down and sick of it. And I wasn't, or I wouldn't do any of it for a couple days at a time or a week at a time. And then I'd feel like I had to get back on the horse and keep doing all that and put all those puzzle pieces back together again and wear myself out to the point where I got sick of it again. And so I was freaked out because I'd never done something sane. I was always doing something kind of insane, one extreme or the other. And you wanted me to post an accountability post in the inner circle, which I did. And I did it.
What happened? Like, was there any question in your mind that you might not do it? Like, because that's what's really interesting to me is how quickly you just like, you're like, you know what? Like, that's it. It's done. It's decided. I'm fucking doing it. Like, what the fuck happened in your head? Was it just like this, I have to push through? Was it difficult? Like, were you being tugged from both ends? Like, what happened?
It was difficult, and it definitely, it gave me some anxiety, and it made me anxious to do it. But in my head, you know, I mean, there's that weird saying about, what is it about insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I've been doing the same thing for the last 10 years. And I thought, well, this 30 days, I mean, what's it going to hurt? I mean, I've been driving myself bananas for 10 years. Why not just do this? And I trust you. And everything that you've always, you've never lied to me. And everything you've said to me has made so much sense that I thought, do it, just try it, see what happens.
And so when you decided this, was it just like a switch? You were like, I have to do this. You're like, for 30 days, like, no question, this is it. It's decided, no matter what anxiety you have, no matter what, like, this is happening.
It's happening. And you gave me something to help with the anxiety, which has helped tremendously. And I still use it. Not even when it comes to fitness, is that you told me when I was feeling freaked out about it, when I was feeling anxious about it, when I had that urge to exercise, you know, like, I got up in the morning and I sort of looked around like, well, this is usually when I work out. What do I do? You told me to just talk out loud to myself and talk about what I was feeling and process it. And I did. I mean, Patty, why are you feeling anxious right now? Because you feel like you need to exercise. Why do you feel like you need to exercise? Because you feel like you're going to get fat or you're going to lose all your progress if you don't go work out. And you know, that's bananas. That's crazy. That's not going to happen.
I'm so happy to hear that, like, you actually put that into practice, because it's a super powerful way to handle anxiety and stress.
Well, and you can't really avoid your own bullshit if you have to say it out loud to yourself.
It's exactly right. It's exactly right. Do you still use that?
Absolutely. Yes. 100%. And I use it about stuff that has nothing to do with fitness. If I'm feeling anxious or nervous about something, or I can't figure something out, sometimes I'll just sit there for a second and talk about it out loud. And I'm like, okay, there we go. That's why that's bothering me. Or that's why it's almost like a form of meditation in a weird way. It just helps you kind of really figure out why you're thinking what you are and where you need to go next.
I agree. I never even thought of it like that. I never thought of it like meditation, but I think you're exactly right. It allows you to sort of calm your mind of all the other bullshit that's going on in there that might be creating emotional responses or things that have nothing to do with it. And it allows you to really focus on the one thing, to isolate it and say, why am I anxious right now? And usually it's not for a reason that you're logically like, this is not worth my anxiety. This is just ridiculous. Let's move forward.
Right. Or it's some excuse you're making in your head. You know, it's your own bullshit. It's usually not anything to do with what's in front of you and what you need to do to overcome it. So that was what I used, and that really helped. And I at the end of 30 days, I did not lose progress. I probably lost a pound or two. I slept better. And this was an interesting side effect too, is that I felt more present. I felt like, just in my life in general, it was so liberating. And this wasn't probably until the second half of the 30 days, that I would get up on a rest day and I would be excited. And I felt like I got more done. I felt like in conversations with people, I was more engaged. I didn't have this running loop in the back of my mind, like, oh, I still need to go work out. I need to make sure I get that done. It was just a way to keep it. I don't know. It allowed me more headspace for stuff that was important and stuff that mattered.
I mean, makes a lot of sense, and I'm sorry to interject. I love hearing this. It makes sense for a number of reasons in terms of when you feel like you have to exercise every day or else you're going to lose your progress, then all of a sudden the day revolves around that exercise.
Yes.
Regardless of what time it's going to be, it's like, until that thing happens, nothing else is going to get your full focus, because the one thing you're most scared of has not been, you've not dealt with it yet. It's, and so it makes a lot of sense. I think the point that I find very interesting and really important to emphasize is you said you didn't notice it until about the second half of the 30 days, which means that you went through about 2 weeks of days in which there may have been a lot of anxiety and pulling and tugging, being like, all right, just do something. But you forced yourself to do it because, like you said, you know, you'd been spinning your wheels for however long, and you're like, you know what, what's 30 days of just giving this my all and not giving into my emotions and really just trying to focus on what I was told to do. I think the easier route would be to give into that emotional response, and to force yourself through those initial 2 weeks shows how much willpower you were able to really cultivate, and how much that benefited you long run.
Yeah. I mean, and you're the one that has said to me, you know, you can have those emotions. I mean, it's okay to be scared or to be anxious or to be worried, but it's really what you do with it that matters. You know, you can't let that drive what you are or aren't going to do. And that was probably at the time part of what I said out loud to myself. Yeah, you can be worried about it, but that doesn't mean you're going to give into it. That's not going to drive your decision. You're going to go ahead with the rest of your day.
100%. So sorry, keep going. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So the 30 days, you know, I made it through the 30 days, and I'm pleased to report that I didn't immediately jump back, you know, exactly where I was. I mean, the good news is it's not like I was like, it's up, and I went back to what I was doing. I didn't. But I was looking forward to having a little bit of cardiovascular exercise again. It is a form of stress relief sometimes for me. I enjoy it. I like getting sweaty. So I let myself add some of it back in. And my usual workout week is Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And so in order to keep myself from slipping back into old habits, I thought, just add something on Wednesdays. And so I did. I added in usually a HIIT workout, something that was 30 minutes interval work, and I enjoyed it, and it was great. And then on the weekends, I tried to sort of just tuck it away and devote myself to family time and just being present and not worrying about it. Occasionally, I took a walk, sometimes with family, sometimes just by myself. And that's kind of where I settled out. That was sort of my new normal, my new routine. And things were going well with it. And by that point, it was probably May or June. And that was my new habit, so to speak. But I didn't feel compelled by it. I didn't feel driven by it or anxious about it. That was just my normal. And at that point, and then I'm kind of transitioning here, if that's okay. I mean,
yes, of course.
Okay. Into the sort of the next part of where I ended up. And then I was still eating at a deficit. Let me just say that I was still eating probably roughly 1500 calories a day at this point. And, I hadn't really given much thought to the fact, I mean, you definitely have talked to us in the AIC about how important it is to go into maintenance, and you've given us the tools to understand how to do it and how to move forward with it. But I was still not ready to face that. I wasn't ready to think about it. I'd sort of messed with the idea in my head and just sort of dropped it. And I hadn't dealt with myself.
So
I was still
why? What? And I think it's an interesting point to discuss. Why were you not ready to think about that yet?
Well, because it was the exact same reason that I wasn't really ready to face over exercising either. I was afraid. I thought I was different, and I thought my body was broken. I had been in a deficit, and I did the math when what I did is I went to the retreat, and that was sort of what made me realize that I had to tackle this. When I came home from the retreat, I really looked at and I'll go back to that in a second. I looked at it, and I'd been in a deficit since August of 2018. So it had been almost a year that I had been eating about 1500 calories on average.
Yeah.
Without a break. And of course I would occasionally have, you know, screw it days or screw it weeks here and there, but really I was fairly consistently eating that few calories on an ongoing basis. I'd never done a maintenance program of any sort. And I thought that my body was broken. Like, I just did not want to believe that I could get away. Like I'm doing something bad, but like I could, but I didn't think that my body would operate correctly on 2000 calories a day or 2200 calories a day or whatever it is. I thought that I had to eat 1500 calories a day until I got to my goal weight, which was always some magically sliding number that got lower and lower the more I lost weight. I mean, it's so dumb. And then I just thought that that was what I was going to have to eat to maintain it. I didn't think that the rules applied to me. And I was scared. I was scared that I was going to increase my calories. And I don't know if I thought I was going to gain 15 pounds overnight. I'm not sure what I really, it wasn't a rational thought. And I hadn't been willing to face that. And really what made me face it is, you know, I went back into I was in my normal habit, blah, blah. The retreat was coming up. It was the beginning of July. And I got to the retreat. And we all kind of know each other, at least through social media. So we followed each other on Instagram and all this kind of stuff. And it was at the initial like mixer when we were all chatting with each other and talking. And I met a very nice young guy named Ryan Kassam. And so Ryan and I were just talking and I followed him on Instagram. I knew who he was. He's a coach. And I knew he was on a deficit. I knew that he was right now, you know, cut. He was losing weight. And we were just talking and he was telling me, I said, I don't remember exactly how it came up, but he told me, and I think I blocked out the number because I was so outraged at the time. He told me some outrageous number of calories he was eating and losing weight. And I was so mad that I think I yelled at him, like not meanly, but I yelled. I was like, are you kidding me? You're eating that many calories and you're losing weight? I mean, I was outdone. I was beside myself. And he laughed at me as he should have. And, you know, we didn't really talk again about it per se. We went on with the rest of the retreat. And when I got home, I thought, you know what? I gotta pay attention to this. This is broken. Like, this is something it's time to pay attention to this. It's time to pull my head out of my ass. I don't know how else to say it. And face the fact that you know, you're not special. Special rules don't apply to you. And you need to face this and understand that what you're doing is not sustainable. It's not working. You're not getting where you want to get. So ask for help. And again, you had everything in the IC that I needed, but I was not willing to do it on my own. I just felt like I just felt like I couldn't face it. I couldn't figure out how to do it. And that's an excuse because you showed us how to do it, but I just wouldn't accept that I could do it. And so I asked Ryan.
You needed more accountability, which is perfect. Like, you knew what you needed.
I did. I needed some help. And I wanted somebody who could really look at me and tell me to pull my head out of my butt and stop being a jerk, you know, and just say, this is what you need to do. Trust me, this is going to be okay. And so I asked Ryan to help me. And of course he said yes. And we took a good hard look at what I was eating. And I was eating on average about 1500 calories a day. And I was one of those people that would put my goal calories in my fitness pal at like 1650. And then I'd think it was a victory if I ate like 1450.
That sounds exactly like you. Okay.
Right. Like winning, yep. You know, and I mean, yeah. So we figured out my average was around 15. And what we did is we started by increasing my calories, 50 calories per day. Basically almost per week. So maybe the first week was 1500 calories a day. The second week was 1550, and then workout days, maybe it was 50 calories more than non-workout days. And just to gradually start stepping that up. And as we did that, I was freaked out. I was completely flipped out. And I said to him, I said, you know, I'd really like to lose more weight before I do this. I want to say we started out, I was probably around maybe 156, 157. And I said, I really just want to weigh 145. And because that's like my magical number, right? I mean, and he said to me, he said, Patty, that's just some number you made up. It's just something you made up in your head. He said, let's just do this and see what happens. And he said, doesn't that number change? And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, there was a time when 170 was a magical number and 160 was a magical number and, you know, 150 was a magical number. And he said, this is a number you made up. Let's just do this. And that stuck in my head ever since.
It's like we always expect to look differently at a certain number until you get to that number and you're like, well, this isn't how I want to look. I probably need to go right. Lower. It's like, right. It's so funny how that works.
Right. And honestly, if I got to 145, I'd still probably be like, I mean, it's nutty how that works. And so that stuck in my head. And so we started this process. And while I was doing that, I was still walking sometimes on the weekends. I was still doing my HIIT in the mornings and on Wednesday mornings. And I was maybe 3-4 weeks into it. And, you know, Ryan is a great guy. Like, he wants you to tell you how he's feeling. He wants to tell you how you're doing, you know, nutrition wise, water wise, how. And I, there was one morning I said to him, and it was an email, and I said, I just feel tired. Like, I just kind of feel wrung out. And he said, you know, have you considered that maybe you need to listen to your body? Like, maybe just sometimes not do the cardio on Wednesdays. Or if you go for a walk, stop trying to walk like a crazy person that's trying to burn calories, you know, just go out and like enjoy the sun and just meander. I don't think he used that word because that's not his word, but like basically just wander around. And he was
just
right.
Just fucking walk around for 20 minutes.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. So that's exactly how he said it. And he was right. It was all of a sudden, it all kind of fit together where I finally admitted to myself that I wasn't trying to, quote, lose weight. And in my head, that's really still where I was, even though, you know, he and I were on this reverse and I was trying to get to maintenance and eat at maintenance and even at a slight surplus. That's the ultimate goal. In my head, I was still like, well, I still got to do my cardio on Wednesday mornings and maybe go for a walk on Saturdays, because in my head, it was still deficit thinking, you know? And once I let go of that and went outside and just wandered around, it was lovely. I felt 100% better. And it was around that time that my calories kind of started to kick in, and I had an epiphany that I'd never ever trained before consistently, not in a deficit. I've never trained and eaten probably more than 1600 calories my whole life. And it was a revelation. Like, all of a sudden I could lift heavy things. And I had, yeah, I was adding like all kinds of weight to my deadlift and my bench and my, you know, and my workouts, I felt fantastic. I had so much energy. And I've never had lifts that have gone so well. Like this morning, you would have thought that I took like pre-workout, but no, it was just food.
Just fucking carbs. Who knew?
It's insane. And this is, you know, this has been gradual, and it's so nice to not go through life hangry all the time. Like, I'm just not a bitch because I'm not hungry. Right? I mean, you should ask people. I'm a nicer person. Here, have a cookie. I'll have one too.
We're deadlifting tomorrow. It's going to be great.
True. And it gradually kicked in that I just realized I was sleeping better. I wasn't cold all the time. I mean, I was constantly wrapped up in a sweatshirt or something. I mean, I was always cold. I slept better. I started making sure I ate carbs at night. I think you were the one that taught me that little trick.
I remember they were texting and you was like, go get some pretzels.
Right. And then you made me pour more pretzels in the bowl.
Yeah. Show me the picture. That, what is that? It's like a weak bowl of pretzels. Let's see a bit more bigger bowl of pretzels. Let's go.
Right. And now I eat
had like
every
four
night.
Pretzel sticks in there. I was like, dude, what the fuck is this? This is like, it's enough pretzels for a mouse. Let's go.
Right. You should see how many pretzels I eat now. It's amazing.
Pretzels are amazing, right?
Oh, I can't believe I've gone this long without them. What is wrong with me? And ice cream. I eat ice cream almost every night right now. And I don't want you to think that I eat nothing but junk food. I think the trick to this was because I did it gradually, and because I added 50 calories a day for a week, and then maybe some weeks even stayed the same. Some weeks it jumped maybe by 100 in the beginning. Because I did it so gradually, I really didn't change what I ate that much. I mean, I liked what I ate before. I just wanted more of it. And so that's kind of what I did. I mean, I still eat the stuff that I ate when I was at 1500 or 1600 calories. I just eat bigger portions. And, you know, maybe I add some rice, or I add a little bit of pasta or potatoes, a little bit more meat, maybe some cheese. But it's still that mostly that really good stuff that fuels my workouts and that feels good and that makes me feel good. But I also... it's lovely to have more room in your life for, you know, ice cream or a cookie or some pretzels or something like that at night. And I make sure that I have room for that. And it's not hard to leave room for it. I'm up to, I think this week I'm 2150 on workout days is where my calories are.
That's amazing.
And what's interesting about all of this, even though I was not intending it, and I pretty much have cut out cardio, I still walk occasionally, but not like a crazy person. I wander around. I've lost weight. I've lost probably 7
Yeah, I saw your pictures. It's like, you look incredible.
Thank you. But how funny is that? That when I stopped trying to lose weight, I lost a little weight.
Isn't that so funny how that works?
I don't even understand it.
I very much believe this is one of the arguments that people are like, oh, my stress is really high, I'm not losing weight. And the response is usually, well, cortisol doesn't prevent you from losing fat. It's that you're not in a calorie deficit. But losing fat and losing weight are two very different things. And I think that what happens is sometimes people get so stressed that they're not losing weight that they're actually preventing themselves from being able, because the stress, the cortisol will increase the water, how much water they're holding, and it can really fuck with the scale. Meanwhile, when you stop focusing on it and you just relax and enjoy and you become more of a present individual, like you were saying, your body relaxes. It doesn't think it's in like this fight or flight mode. You can chill, and then it's not going to hold on to as much water. You're not going to be stressed as much. And then boom, you lose weight. And now also you're getting stronger. You're eating more calories. You're adding more muscle. Like your muscle's definition is outrageous. Like, in addition to getting stronger, it makes sense. Like, it makes a lot of sense. It's so interesting how ironic it is from the psychological aspect. Like, once you stop trying so fucking hard to do that, like to try and fit a square peg into a round hole, you can finally actually do it.
It's crazy to me. I've never felt this good in my entire life. My performance in the gym has never been better. I've never worked out so little in my life. And I mean that in a good way. Like, I have 4 really good quality lifts a week. And that's it. And I've worked out for years, and I've spun my wheels and made no progress and felt like I was yo-yoing and felt like I was kind of stuck. And at 45, I think I look better than I did at 25. And I feel so good. I have so much energy. I mean, I just want to go up to people on the street and be like, do you understand that I get to eat over 2000 calories a day? Let me show you how this works. I mean, I don't do that, but I think about it.
I think you should do that and like record yourself. Do you know how many calories I eat in a day? Do you know? Because I used to think my metabolism was broken, but no, I was fucking wrong.
I was very wrong. So I even put a post in the IC about it about a month ago, and it was like a public service announcement to eat the food, eat all the food.
I remember. I saw that.
So I know there are a lot of women like me out there that feel like they have to live their life in a deficit. And I was one of them. And I was convinced that the rules didn't apply and that reverse diets were not for me. And now that I have done it and I understand what it is and what it's for and how it works, oh my gosh, I just want to let everybody know, eat the food. Life's too short, first of all. And second of all, it's going to help. It's going to help everything in a way that, you know, I don't think we even understand. I don't know. I'm gushing.
I think you hit on a really important point earlier when you were saying, yeah, I can eat more food, but the majority of what you're eating is what you're already eating. It's just in a little bit bigger portions. And so when people are on social media and like a lot of the coaches, they'll glorify the pizza and the ice cream and all the fun stuff. But I think you hit on a really important point. And I think people get nervous when they think of adding more calories, because sort of their brain immediately goes to like, well, I don't want to have a ton of pizza and ice cream because I think I'm going to get fat. It's like, no, you don't need to add all of that other food. It's just eat more of what you're already eating, and then you'll feel better. You'll end up getting stronger. You'll have better workouts, better sleep. You're more relaxed. You'll actually lose weight. You'll end up losing fat. And then from there, you'll end up having more room if you do decide that you'd like to have some extra fun foods.
Absolutely. And the key to doing that is, I think, to doing it gradually. I mean, I know everybody has their own philosophy about that, but I think doing it gradually was what was key for me. That's what sort of helped my anxiety about it. It's what helped me manage it with food and not think that I was going to add, you know, half a pizza and a carton of ice cream every night. It was more over time. And now looking back on it to July to now, of course I'm eating a lot more, but you know, it's not really different. I still eat salads.
Do you think that if you had jumped up calories immediately and you'd seen a really fast initial spike in weight, you would have been like, fuck this?
I definitely would have freaked out. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, I think that you're right. It's the slow and gradual way of doing it is way, way, way more digestible. No pun intended. Way more digestible in terms of like not freaking out, because either way, like the scale's going to go up at some point. Doesn't mean it won't come back down, but if you immediately add, I don't know, an extra 500 calories plus per day, of course the scale is initially going to spike up. So for you to take it slow and steady and gradual, it's a very smart approach.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan was not wrong about that. And I think you preach the same thing in the IC for when, you know, somebody goes into maintenance, and it's definitely the way I would advise anybody do it. And there's a whole group of us now in the IC that are on a reverse now. And it's going to be really fun to see what happens this winter when we all kind of get to that point where we reach maintenance and that we get in a slight surplus and we start putting on a little muscle. I mean, I think it's so exciting to see all of us starting to understand how important this is and how much we're all kind of learning about it and reading about it and figuring out how it works. I mean, it's fascinating. It's like really a whole, cool. Yeah, it's a whole world we never knew existed.
I like it because so many fitness groups, it's all fat loss all the time. And it's really cool to see people like getting together and using each other as accountability for something outside of fat loss. Not that fat loss is bad. Fat loss, I put fat loss all the time. But it is really cool to see that when you start to understand that fat loss isn't the only thing, and that oftentimes eating more for periods of time can help with fat loss, that the world of fitness opens up so much more, and there are so many other things to do within that world rather than only focus on fat loss.
100%. And you know, if I plan on being in a surplus this winter, and I think the goal is maybe a half a pound to 2 pounds a month gain is sort of what we're looking at. You know, and you have to take the average, of course, and all that kind of stuff. And it'll be interesting to see how I handle that, because I haven't yet had to see the scale go up. I haven't reached maintenance quite yet. And because, you know, I'm tracking my weight every day and I'm still at this point seeing a downward trend. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that works, how I handle it. And then fascinating when I go back to a cut, maybe this spring. And I'm excited about the fact that it'll be almost fun to do a cut at that point to see if what my work has accomplished over the winter and to see how much more I can eat and lose weight this time around. It'll be lovely to feel like maybe I can lose weight at, I don't know, 1800 calories instead of 15. I'm just throwing a number out there, but
that I was literally just about to say. I mean, you said, what are you eating on training days right now? Like 2150?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you eat 2150 on training days and like 1800 on rest days, and you're still seeing a downward trend, that'll absolutely be in a deficit. It's like, that's like an average of 500 more than what you were eating before.
Oh, I mean, on rest days, I'm eating 2100. So I'm eating.
Got it. Wow. Like, I mean,
yeah.
That's amazing. It's amazing. Like I think that, and that's one of those things about fat loss as well, that as you get more experience and as you do this, it doesn't have to be such a horrible thing. Like it really doesn't have to be such a nail biting, like awful, terrible experience, especially when you treat it from the perspective of understanding that you don't have to go so drastic and that it doesn't have to be for long periods of time. You could do it for 8-12 weeks and then switch back into maintenance and go into a surplus, and it's cycling through. I think, and tell me if you think I'm wrong here. It looks like one of the things that helped a lot was you got a structured plan. Like you got a structured plan where you had the accountability and you had the structure and you had the coaching and that, so you don't have to do the thinking anymore. I think it's one of the things where a lot of people, they know enough to be dangerous. They know enough for just to do something, but they don't to coach yourself is very, 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 very difficult. And I think you found what you needed to create a plan for you.
Absolutely. I needed that accountability. I needed somebody to just help me sort of get out of my own head. When I started talking about crazy stuff where I needed to weigh a certain number, just having somebody kind of say, hey, it's just something we made up. Let's do what's in front of us and see what happens. Okay, you're right. You're right. I needed that support and assistance. It's invaluable. And it was definitely the thing I needed to get over that hump and just look at it dead on and know that that's what I needed to do. And I think it's, you know, to come full circle, it's like you said, it doesn't have to be bad. You don't have to feel like you're hungry all the time. You don't have to do it for long periods of time. I don't ever plan on going back into a deficit. I don't think going into a deficit saying I need to weigh a certain number. I think what I'd like to do in the future is say I'd like to do a deficit for 8 weeks or 12 weeks.
It's so crazy. I it's so cool to hear this discussion and compare it with our first discussion, because it's like it's talking to a very different individual, and I love it. It's amazing. It really is amazing. Not even just what you're saying, but the tone of your voice. Like, you're so much more confident in the direction you're going. You're so much more confident in what you're doing and what you will accomplish, rather than being so unsure before if it was going to be possible or doable. Or it's a really, really cool transformation to hear.
Oh, thank you. And that's because of you and because of Ryan. And that's a year in the IC of just, you know, watching you and Susan and listening to the content and going to the retreat. I think all of that helps give us the confidence because we have knowledge. We understand things so much better once we spend time in a world where we're not listening to a bunch of bullshit, where we're listening to the truth, where, you know, we're figuring out what works for us and being able to move forward and getting support from each other. I never understood that I didn't have to suffer so much. And that's about exercise and food. I didn't have to work out and beat my body up 7 days a week. I don't have to be hungry all the time. And that's putting all that together finally this summer has just been a revelation. Like, I'm happy with all of this. This doesn't take up that much brain space for me anymore. I mean, I have my exercise and I eat regular foods. I don't eat weird stuff. I used to make hamburger buns out of egg whites. Like, I used to honestly whip egg whites and like make hamburger buns out of them because I thought that I shouldn't eat bread. I mean, this was like 10 years ago, but I used to do crazy stuff like that. And I don't do stuff like that anymore. I eat regular food. I work out 4 times a week. That's it. I'm not saying I don't spend time and energy on it. I do. I track my calories. I pay attention to my water intake. I make sure I get enough fruits and vegetables. I get enough sleep. I spend effort and self-care time on myself, but I don't spend too much time. My headspace is my own. I have other activities and friends and hobbies and a job and kids, and I feel more present with them than I probably ever have.
I'm smiling so big right now. That's amazing. And I don't even know what to say other than that's fucking amazing. And it makes me incredibly happy. And I'm blessed to have you on here, and I'm blessed to have you in my life and in the inner circle. And thank you. Before we get off, is there anything that like I can help you with? I know the last call was mostly us talking, and this call is more like you being able to share how far you've come. Like, is there anything I can help you with? Or are you just, you don't even need me anymore? Is it like, all right, listen, I fucking understand everything. I'll talk to you later.
I will always need you. I will always need you. You know, as I move forward into this, I'm a little flipped out about going into a surplus this winter, seeing the scale go up, maybe some expectations about what to expect in a surplus, how to handle that. Like, you know, what are the best benefits from it? I mean, I know some, of course, but just what to expect on that. I think that's still probably the one issue out there that's kind of like looming for me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, I think by going through what you already went through, you've experienced the majority, if not all of the things that are going to happen just by already progressively increasing your calories. So what I would have said was been, I was like, well, you are probably going to have increased energy. You're probably going to be feeling stronger. You're probably going to be feeling more relaxed. Your strength is going to go up. I would definitely have said it doesn't mean the extra calories should be all for eating shit. Like, it should be mainly just eating more of what you're already eating. So you've already developed mainly all of the skills that you're going to need, and you've already experienced so much of what's going to happen. It sounds like the major thing that might freak you out is the scale increasing. That like might be very odd for you because for however many years you've actively gone after the opposite. And I think I'll be very frank with you. If it was almost anybody else who I didn't know that when they decided to do something that they were going to do it, then I wouldn't be concerned, but I would be very cautionary about saying sort of the things that you and I had already spoken about, saying like making sure that you're speaking out loud to yourself, making sure that you are very aware of the goal that you set for yourself and you can't just call it quits because it gets uncomfortable. I know that by now, no matter what happens, you're going to see it through regardless of whether or not it makes you uncomfortable, because you know that you trust the process, you trust me, you trust Ryan, you trust what's going to happen, and you know it's going to be beneficial. And you also, above all else, you know what you need to do if you ever decide you want to lose fat again. Like, you know that. And I think that's one of the most powerful benefits of understanding this process is, worst comes to absolute worst, you always know what you need to do to lose fat. And I think it's one of the key elements that allows people to feel confident in their fitness without letting it take control of their lives. Once they really understand, that's one of the reasons why I talk about calorie deficit so much, is because once you really understand it and you really get it, it becomes this thing of like, oh, that's really it. It doesn't make it easy. It doesn't make it necessarily fun all the time, but it does give you the confidence to know that worst comes to worst, you know exactly what to do. And I think that what's going to happen is, as long as you're continuing along the right path, and I trust Ryan implicitly, and he's clearly done an incredible job, and I see no reason why he wouldn't continue to. I think he's a tremendous coach. I think you'll progressively and slowly increase in weight, and you know that's going to happen. And as long as you use the same thought processes and logic, with knowing that there will be days when it spikes up more than others, and knowing that it's going to happen, then you're going to be fine. The one thing that I would do, that I would recommend with both you and Ryan, is I would set like some general range of a maximum amount of weight you would like to gain. And I would do that from a long-term perspective. So if you're going to do like a 12-week surplus or a 16-week or whatever it is you're going to do, set like a maximum total that you'd like to gain, and also set a maximum per month that you would like to gain, so that you can keep a close eye on it, not let any single data point freak you out or cause any changes. But if you consistently start to see data points that are higher than your maximum, then starting, okay, we know we have to maybe rein in it a little bit, go a little bit more slowly so we can understand what's going on.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Okay. And that's the thing, is just by going through what you've already gone through, you know so much, you've experienced so much. It's literally, I have a feeling, and tell me if I'm wrong, that the scale is the one thing that is like sort of possibly looming over your head.
A little, but it's a ton better than it ever used to be. A ton. I mean, it's a lot better. I can still look at it in the morning and be like, dang, for a second. But I don't let it stay with me. I put it in my phone and I move on for the day. But it is still something. It's a hard habit. I mean, it's years and years of an ingrained philosophy that I haven't completely shaken. I'm looking at it much more as a form of data than I ever used to. And I don't care what I weigh. I put that in quotes, sort of. Like, if somebody asks me what I weigh, I'll tell you. There was a point in my life where I wouldn't have wanted somebody to know that I weighed 150 pounds. You know, like, oh my God, that sounds like so much. Okay, I don't care. But having said that, looking at my own day-to-day weight fluctuations, I'm much better about. But for me to tell you that it's not going to bother me to see it creep up to 152, 154, 156, you know, it is an uncomfortable thought. And I think, and Ryan is, he and I've talked about it, and that it's, you know, 0.5 to 2 pounds per month is kind of what we're thinking. But I don't know that I've had the discussion with him of, let's say that maybe we don't want to go higher than 160. You know, we haven't had that conversation. So that's a great piece of advice to maybe have with them. Like, how long do we want to do a surplus? You know, how long is it generally beneficial? Like, how, you know, we don't want to get too far outside of it before I feel overwhelmed by it, that kind of thing.
I like having a general guideline for an end date or for a reevaluation date, right? Where it's like, hey, we're going to do this for 8 weeks or 10 weeks. At that mark, we're going to reevaluate. Do we want to go into a period of maintenance before we, like maybe a 4 week period of maintenance, or do we want to do another 4-8 weeks of surplus? Because when you have those periods of reevaluation, you can see, okay, what's the rate of progress? Is it too fast? Is it not as fast as we'd think? And go from there. The other thing that I would say, and I think this is the part you're going to love the most, is if you think that you have more energy and strength now, I think the surplus is going to be like, holy fuck. Like you're gonna freak out in the gym in a good way.
I'm excited.
I think that your deadlifts are gonna shoot up. I think what you're really gonna like, and this is a more of a longer term process, is you might see your chin up strength. I can't say definitively. I know personally when I go into a surplus, my chin up strength either stays the same or sometimes it slightly decreases just because I have to lift more weight up. But the next time I go into a cut, it's way stronger. So in terms of understanding ahead of time, your chin-ups might be more difficult because fucking obviously you're lifting more weight up. But when you come back down, it will then be significantly better and you'll be stronger for it. I bet your deadlifts, your squats, your bench, I think you're going to go nuts on that. And just from my own recent experience with Paul and more bodybuilding is – and sort of like the experience that you and I had at the retreat when you were doing the lunges, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like lift more, like what the hell? Mm-hmm. And I know you've definitely, that was a big moment. Like, oh my God, like I'm sort of not going as hard as I could. Definitely focus on if you want to pick a couple of body parts that you really might want to bring up, and you don't have to, but for me, going into a surplus, I like really picking 2 to 3 different body parts that I would love to add muscle to specifically and focusing on them for that first surplus, because you're going to get a lot of benefit out of that first surplus, that first really muscle building phase. And it's cool when it's all said and done to look back and be like, holy fuck, I really added some muscle there.
Okay, done. I mean, I immediately, you know, like my legs, when you said that, I was like, boom. I mean,
boom.
I didn't even have to think about it. That was exactly what popped in my head. So okay. And that has stuck with me too, that moment from the retreat where you were like, pick up the 40s, you can do it. And sometimes I'll be doing an exercise and I'm like, yeah, this is like one of those moments where you gotta, I mean, maybe it's not 40, but you know, pick up a heavier weight. And yeah. It's been a good reminder for me to continually check in with myself. Am I making sure that I'm really going as hard as I can? Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes it's yeah. Sometimes, you know.
One of my favorite moments of the retreat is when you picked up the 40s and you like you grit your teeth and you're like, I'm fucking doing this. It's like it says a lot. I think it's a very cliche saying, you're stronger than you think, but it's also very true. Like you are in general, like the proverbial you, like you're way stronger than you think. And when you start acting like it, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally and talking to yourself like it, a lot of things change.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It all goes together. And when you figure all of this piece out, the rest of the pieces kind of fall into place too.
The pieces, the pretzel pieces, you get a lot more pretzel. Just this.
I love pretzels.
Oh my God. That's honestly, it's the hardest part of this Big Mac challenge is that I can't have as many pretzels as I want. It's the worst. I have a big tub of pretzels in my cabinet and I can't have them because I'm fucking having this Big Mac. It's pissing me off.
I don't blame you. I actually kind of feel sorry for you right now because I look at that Big Mac and as good as I know that, you know, they are, I mean, they're not my poison. I'm a quarter pounder cheese kind of girl, but I understand what you mean. Like, because sometimes you don't want that stuff. You want to devote it somewhere else. And that would irritate me. I like flexibility. Like that would be hard. I think that's probably the hardest part of the challenge.
That's 100%. And that's like what we're going to talk about in the video a lot is a lot of people are like, oh my God, do you feel terrible? Da, da, da. It's like, no, I feel fine. The hardest part of it is like when you add an extra 550, 600 calories to your diet immediately, it's like, okay, you have to remove other shit. And so for me, it's like, that's either pretzels or sorbet. Like those are the two things that I really like and I'm not having either of those in any significant amount. So it's worth it, but I'm ready for the challenge to be over.
I hear you. I hear you. You can do it.
Thank you, Patty. Patty, thank you for coming on. I fucking love you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. It's always great to talk to you. I appreciate all your help. And I can't thank you enough for the IC and you and Susan and everything you guys do.
Of course. And I better see you in New York soon, right?
I'm getting there. I'm doing it.
Good. Well, listen, I love you. Tell your family I say hello and I'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right. Love you too. Bye.
Bye.